Yo, welcome to episode 2 of Tearing That Veil. Yo, y'all went crazy on the first podcast. I thank every last one of you guys for listening. I thank every last one of you guys for sharing the word and spreading the word. And we back at it. We back at it again. There's another video, different topic. Care to break the honors, bro? Yo, what are we speaking about today, bro?
Hey, what's up? My name is Elliot. we're going to be talking about a couple things, but the main topic is unity.
Facts.
More specifically, unity versus division in the body of Christ. Talking about specifically, like, what is the body of Christ? How should unity be incorporated with the body of Christ? And how division has played a part. Right.
We're going to be a little bit all over today. There is one scripture that I specifically wanted us to go over, which is Matthew 12, 22 to 28. But throughout this, we're going to be asking you guys. I'm so sorry. I'm so accustomed to people being here. This is so weird. I'm over here looking at the computer. We are going to be going over Matthew 12, 22 to 20. Actually, I'm going to cut it short. We're going to be going over Matthew 12, 22 to 26. And so we're just going to speak about unity. We're going to speak about the body of Christ. We're going to speak about division and why this is important. And so, yo, bro, let's get into it. It says, then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that many spoke and saw, right? And so as I was reading this, demon-oppressed popped out to me. And we all know what demons are. They are evil spirits or devils, especially one thought to possess a person or act as a tormentor in hell upon people's lives. And so we're familiar with demons. We cast those out. We bind those up. We send those back to the pits of hell where they came from. And so it says, then a demon oppressed man, not a demon possessed man, but a demon oppressed man. And so I looked up what the word oppressed means. And it said to keep someone in hardship, especially by using authority in an unjust way. And so I think this plays a super big part in what we're about to talk about, like an extremely big part, because as I'm going to speak about later on, there's something about division in Christ that's a little bit different than division that's in the world. And so there's only one thing that can break division in Christ. And so this was just a little bit eye-opening to me that he wasn't possessed, but he was oppressed. It later on says a man who was blind, right? And I don't think that he was just blind physically, but I think that he was blind spiritually. Same thing that goes with he was mute. I don't think that he was just mute physically, but he was mute spiritually as well. And so it says he was brought to him. Pause. He was brought to him. Yo, sometimes we gotta run towards Jesus, bro. Don't think just because Jesus is a healer, he's a provider, you know, he's the God who sees, you know, he's Elroy, he's Elohim, he's Jireh, he's this, that, and the third. Yo, don't think just because he's that, he's just gonna perform miracles all over you just because you're sick. Or just because you're broke means that everybody that's broke is going to get rich because they believe in Jesus. No, sometimes you have to approach the throne yourself. Sometimes you have to go towards the Lord and be like, yo, like, I need this. Yo, I need that. Yo, you're mute and you're blind. Yo, approach the kingdom. Talk to your father. Be like, yo, I need this from you. The Lord oftentimes knows exactly what we need, but he's just waiting on us as sons and daughters to approach his throne, to surrender towards him, knowing that we're supposed to have reverence, knowing that, yo, he's provider, knowing that he's Christ, he's the one who could do all things, and so he knows what we need. He just wants us to watch this word. Get on your knees, surrender, cry out to him. Yo, you need this? Ask me.
Yeah, also, real quick, it says, like, he's blind, and so he probably can't see his way to Jesus.
Facts.
So he probably got friends that brought him to Jesus.
Talk about it.
I believe, and I say this all the time, bro, I believe that is super, super, super crucial to the believer. You want to talk about unity?
Let's talk about
how you have friends that are on the same page as you, that believe in the same Lord as you, that got the same faith as you, man, and is willing to cry out to the same God, the same Father, the same King, the same Master, and bring you to the throne, even if you don't even know how to get there yourself.
Yeah.
He's blind. Now, a lot of us are blind right now, spiritually, and we don't even know how to get to Jesus for real. But thank God for godly friends that know how to get to Jesus, that know how to pray, that know how to fast, that know how to do all these things, that know how to read. If you're struggling with disciplining yourself to read the Bible, man, get a friend that knows how to read and can teach you, can help you walk through the Bible. Friends, I believe, you know, he was brought to him. So a blind man can't get to Jesus by himself.
Yeah.
But he got friends that brought him to Jesus and is like, yo, Jesus, we got a friend. Yeah. My friend needs help. My friend needs healing. My friend needs this.
Facts. I think you said something very important when you said godly friends. We spoke about this when we went over the Lord's Prayer and how, he wants us to intercede for one another. A big part of unity is making sure that we hold each other accountable and crying out to the Father about one another. Like, yo, bro, if you're struggling, bro, if I see that you're on the path of sin, if I see that you're on the path of, you're about to fall, and me and you are united, I don't want to see you break off. I don't want to see you divided from me. So I'm going to be like, yo, Lord, like, I'm crying out for this individual. I'm crying out for my brother. Yo, I'm crying out for my sister. And it just shows the heart of God. It shows that we love one another. Yo, I don't think that if you really love somebody, you can really be divided from them.
No. I believe love automatically just brings unity.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, God loves us, and God demonstrated his love by bowing down and coming to be with us. He sent his son so that God in the flesh could be with us, dwell with us, be sacrificed for us to be with God again. Like, it's all about reconciliation, just God pulling people back to himself. And love automatically, or I would just say, is synonymous with unity.
Yeah.
You can't love somebody and just be okay with division, be okay with separation, be okay with disconnection. It just doesn't work like that.
You know, what's so funny about what you, like, what we're talking about right now is, it later says, and he healed him. Yo, could I suggest to people that just being united will heal one another, bro? Could I make that suggestion out there, bro, that, yo, if I'm with you, bro, and you're with me, and we're with Christ, yo, bro, we are healed, bro. We are healed. Yo, if Christ is the healer, right, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we worship the same God, right? We're under the same God, right? Mm-hmm. Yo, if it's me, you, and we're approaching the throne of God, yo, healing is already in our favor because it's in the character of the God that we serve. Yo, you want to get healing, bro? Yo, attach yourself to the source of healing, which is Jesus. Yo, you want to feel love? Yo, attach yourself to the source of love, which is Jesus. Yo, you want to feel whatever you want to feel that's good, bro, attach yourself to Jesus, bro. A lot of people want to feel these things, but they don't know where to go. And worse, some people know where to go and just choose not to go there, like we see in Isaiah 1.
Right.
Yeah. And so, yo, that's so powerful, bro. Like, just that in itself, like, yo, godly friends brought him to Jesus and he healed him.
Yeah.
And so I just think that that just shows the responsibility of us believers. The copyright. I feel like that just shows the responsibility for us believers. And so and how powerful it is to be a disciple, how powerful it is to be a son, how powerful it is to be a daughter in Christ. Because just based off your actions could be the reactions of somebody's healing, bro. Like yeah. Just because you did this, the reaction to what you did was healing.
Yeah.
Cause and effect.
Absolutely. And yeah, like you said, like we want the things that God can provide, but we don't want to stay connected to God.
Yeah.
We want the things that He can provide, but we don't want to just stay connected to the source. Like, we want charge. We want healing, whatever that may look like. Healing, joy, love, peace, whatever. We want the fruit, but we don't want to plant the seed in our relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a terrible pandemic of give me, give me, give me. But we're not willing to be connected to the source that will give. We're so much focused on what God could give us instead of just being focused on the one that could give it to us.
Yeah.
And so that could also cause a division in the simple fact that, say his friends were going there, not united in the sense of they're in each other's presence, but united with, I need something from Jesus. So it's like, say three men went together and they're all asking for personal things. Well, first off, love should be the thing that's uniting them. So it's like, yo, I love my brother, so I'm about to go pray for my brother. I'm about to go bring my brother before Jesus. But that sense of I need something from God, I need something from Jesus,
yeah,
could take away from the thing that God really wants to give us, which could be healing, which could be joy, which could be whatever it is. But as long as we're going to the source, my Bible tells me God is love. With love for each other and for Him, I do believe that He could do miraculous things.
Absolutely. The rest of the verse later says, so that the man spoke and saw, and yo, just of us stepping out in faith, we can do things that are impossible. That may seem impossible. We start doing things that we never done before. And that's because God equips us. And so remember how we said, yo, we have to keep ourselves attached to the source. Yo, when you keep yourself attached to the source, yo, let me suggest something to everybody that can hear the sound of my voice. You have a calling. You were called to do something. In fact, yo, your Canaan, your calling, the thing that God designed you to do could seem out of this world. Out of this world. Yo, God told you you're finna deliver so many people to the kingdom of God. You're gonna lead millions of people to salvation. Yo, you're gonna speak in front of schools. You're gonna do this, that, and the third. And your Canaan seems like, yo, it's out of this mind. It's out of this world. You're not gonna get there by yourself, bro. You're gonna need people. You're going to need an Elliot. You're going to need a Javante. You're going to need a Bible study. You're going to need a church, bro. You're going to need, watch this word, unity.
Right.
Because if we keep each other accountable, we can make sure that we stay on the right path. And so you know where you're going. I know where you're going. I love you. I'm not going to let you slack off. And so I think that is so important that if we have this thing called unity, we have to know what we're unified with. So what is the body of Christ, right? What is the body of Christ? Because we can't necessarily be unified and everybody has all of these ideologies, all of these things and whatnot, bro, of what we are unified under. We all have to be on one accord on that.
Yeah.
It's just like being in an army or being in a platoon or being in a fleet. Yo, if you're fighting with somebody, you have to know what you're fighting for. And so the body of Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, it states, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Yo, the body of Christ, right, is a bunch of believers, right? A bunch of people that believe in Jesus. Jesus is the head, right? And so it's a bunch of people that acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior.
Yeah.
You go under the water, you come back up under the water. Yo, you are now saved, right? You're a sinner saved by grace. And so the Lord has instilled purpose in you. right? You have a calling upon your life, and not everybody's calling is the same. Yo, you might be called to evangelize, and I might be called to pick up a microphone. Yo, you might be called to sing a song about the Lord, and I might be called to evangelical ministry. And everybody has their own unique callings. And we all know if God called you, nobody could do it the way how you can do it, because God called you to specifically do this thing. And so everybody's path is different, yet we're still serving the same God. One spirit, one mind, one accord. Even though we have different ways of going about serving Jesus, yo, at the end of the day, our job is to reconcile man with God. No matter if we do it by a podcast, no matter if we do it by evangelizing, no matter if you do it by speaking on a podcast or on a Bible study, bro. If your gift is going out and evangelizing, yo, you could do something as simple as cleaning up the church on a Sunday.
Yep.
Yep. But we're all serving the same God. We're all serving the same master. We're all giving the highest praise to the one that deserves it, right? And so, yo, we come together and create unity. We fellowship together. We love one another. Yo, we break bread with one another. We drink wine together as they did in the Bible. And so, yo, all this is you and me with different paths, different ways of going about this. Matter of fact, not even different paths, different beginnings. You come from some place, I come from some place. Saved by grace. Now on the same path of getting towards our God, reconciling with our God, but going about that path differently. And so, yo, it might be the same for some people, it might be different. But yo, at the end of the day, everybody that is a Christian should be reconciling man with God.
Yeah, bro. I wanna dismantle some bad doctrine. Yo, in this verse where it talks about the different members, I hate to hear people be like, the different members of the body is different denominations.
I was gonna save it, bro.
I'm sorry, bro, but I have to get that out the way, bro. Like, that's terrible doctrine, bro.
Absolutely.
Prior to this verse, context. Prior to this verse, Paul was talking about different gifts that we could use to bringing everybody to Christ, also maturing up the saints.
Yeah.
So everything is given to everybody for either one of two things, both many of times, either bring people into the kingdom or building up those who are already in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, these different parts is the different gifts. It's not the different denominations. Jesus did not create a denominational church. Jesus created one church with one spirit.
Yeah.
One commission.
Yeah.
One everything.
Talk about it.
And so I'm hear what I'm not saying. I'm not against Pentecostals and Baptists. I'm not against non-denominationals and SDAs. I'm not against the different denominations, but I am saying that these different parts of the body is not denominations. It is different gifts that God has assigned to each person. Moses was not rebellious, so Moses did not have to get captured by a whale. That was Jonah.
Yeah.
Moses just had his own problems. So two different people, two different beginnings, but same mission.
Yeah.
To bring people closer to God. And so that's how we should look at it. With these different gifts, we are different parts of the body. Like, one part of the body is those who are gifted with healing. And you gifted with healing doesn't have to be you lay hands on somebody. Man, you gifted with healing could just be you working at a hospital. The different gifts doesn't have to be over-spiritualized. Yes, many times you lay hands on somebody and you do have a gift of healing. But man, it could be as simple as you working in a hospital and your gift is healing. I'm going to tell you right now, you will know your gift even before you step into the kingdom. Because I believe in gifts that you are born with, God-given gifts since birth. And so even though it could be secular, that's still a gift. Yo, I have no problem speaking publicly. Like, public speaking is not an issue for me, secular or not. Like, I just love to talk in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah.
But that same gift that I had since birth, was just redeemed. It wasn't changed, right? The different part of the body, was it, like, it wasn't changed for me. It was just redeemed in terms of, man, God said, you love to talk in front of people. So before you was talking in front of people and it didn't matter to the kingdom, now you're going to speak for the kingdom in front of people.
Absolutely. Yo, to further back up what you said about gifts when you're not necessarily saved or when you're in, as Isaiah would put it, enemy territory, right?
Yeah.
And so there's this verse in Isaiah. Where is this verse at, bro? There's a verse where it talks. No, not in Isaiah. Deuteronomy. Sorry. There's a verse in Deuteronomy 20, right? And it speaks about what to do when you get in enemy territory, right? And it speaks about axes. And from 19 to 20, it says, when you lay siege to a city for a long time, fighting against it to capture it, do not destroy its trees by putting an axe to them, because you can eat their fruit. Do not cut them down. Are the trees people that you should bees them? However, you may cut down trees that you know are not fruit trees and use them to build siege work until the city at war with you falls. You know what this means? That, yo, you might have a gift. Your gift might be singing and you use it for the wrong things. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's not a God-given gift. It's the way how you're stewarding it, right? You may have a gift of public speaking, but if you're speaking death upon everybody, the gift isn't necessarily not a gift. It's the way that you're using it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, like you said, yo, people are given with God-given talents, right, from birth.
Right.
And it's just the way on how you steward things. It's just the way how you go about it. Yo, if you have a great voice and you're singing secular music, that doesn't necessarily mean that just because you sung secular music and now you're saved, now all of a sudden you're an evangelist. No, use the gifts, use the talents, use the God-given things that God gave you, instilled in you, birthed in you to praise his name. Right? It should just come easy. It should come natural, bro. It shouldn't be no tugging. You've already been equipped.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah. 100%.
And so, great. Great way of thinking about it. Because, yo, you don't know how many times, bro, people will get into the kingdom, bro, and they're great at doing all types of things, bro. They're great at singing, bro, and they'll see somebody like me and you pick up a microphone, bro, and immediately think that their calling is a podcast, bro.
A lot of times, it could be curiosity in terms of, man, I'm curious, I don't know what God needs me to do. Or sometimes it's envy. Sometimes it's jealousy, like, man, he getting all the views. Like, they doing a podcast, man. Everybody's not called to do a podcast. Everybody's not called to do Bible study. Everybody's not called to sing. Everybody's not called to preach. Everybody's not called to teach. Everybody's not called to do all the same thing, because there wouldn't be no body.
Yeah.
It would just be two hands. That's it.
Word.
But body has multiple members.
Exactly.
And those multiple members work together.
Verse 23 of Matthew 12, it says, and all the people were amazed, right? Emphasis on amazed, surprised, astonished. And said, can this be the son of David? Yo, pause. Oh, man. Two things here. I'm going to explain the scripture and explain how it can be applied to us now. And so, yo, we see this, something similar with this, with Peter walking on water. And God is in the water, he's in the sea, and he's saying, yo, Peter, come to me. Yo, slide, bro. Pull up. And they think that this ain't God. They think that this is something demonic. They think that this is a ghost. And so, yo, people, right? And it just brings me back. It keeps bringing me back to Isaiah 1, bro. That, yo, we've been so demon oppressed. We've been so demonically oppressed that we can't even see the Savior if it was looking dead smack in front of us, bro. If it was dead smack in front of us, some people aren't able to witness, or their spirit man can't bear witness to the living God because they've been so oppressed by demonic entities for X amount of period of time. Yo, bro. If the Lord stood right in front of you and did a miracle, you'd ask him to do another one because you don't know if that's God or not. If the Lord stood right there and healed you, brought you out of Egypt, you would put yourself back in Egypt and ask him to do it again like he's some type of genie. Yeah. If God were to save you, and did a miraculous thing for you. You'd ask him to do 3 triple backflips, a quadruple somersault, like he's a circus monkey. Yo, no, he's not, bro. Acknowledge the Lord. And we see that this is the first real cause of division right here. That they think that they're questioning. Can this be? It shouldn't be, can this be? It should not be, can this be? When God delivers you from something, it should not be, can this be God? When you get a new job, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it should not be, can this be God? When you get out of a toxic relationship, it should not be, yo, could this be God? Yo, if you know this, if you know the God you serve, if you say that you love this God, if you say that you want to be with him, we scream it out all the time in worship, bro. We utter these words and don't know exactly what they mean. And so, yo, bro, we got to get to a point where we recognize Jesus, bro. Because we can't be in unity if we don't even know each other, if we can't spot out each other. If I don't know that you're in my body, if you're working with the same body as me, how am I supposed to be in unification with you? That makes absolutely no sense. And so, yo, bro, we got to get reconciled together, bro. We have to be reconciled with each other, bro. We have to work with one another, bro.
Yeah, all the people were amazed. By this time, Jesus has disciples.
Yeah.
All the people were amazed. Jesus has 12 men that's been following him.
Facts.
And all the people were amazed. 12 men has been looking Jesus dead in his face. And every time they look him in his eyes, they're looking into the eyes of God Almighty. And all the people were amazed. And you could be so close to Jesus and still not even recognize what is happening right in front of you. All the people were amazed. And said, now people were saying, can this be the Son of David?
Yeah.
Leaving room for doubt. It's not a bad thing to, and I say this a lot, it's not a bad thing to deconstruct and be like, am I really saved? Am I? Because the Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it's not a bad thing for deconstruction. It's like, yo, am I really with the Lord? Am I really walking how I need to walk? Am I really saved? Am I really doing what God needs me to do? Am I really believing how I should be believing? They wasn't questioning their salvation, and they wasn't questioning them and their commitment to the Lord. They was questioning the Lord. They was questioning and leaving room for doubt in who Jesus is. That is, can I say it? My favorite D word. Demonic, bro.
Facts.
Leaving room for you to doubt who Jesus is. Borderline. Blasphemy. It's right there. I'm telling you, it's right there. You leaving room for doubt, man, that's a terrible thing to do. You're doing Jesus a disservice because Jesus does not have to be your savior, right? He does not have to be all the things that... He doesn't have to be your father. He doesn't have to be your king, man. You could hate him. But once you claim to be saved and once you claim to be following, once you claim to be a disciple, man, why are you doubting Jesus' identity? That just doesn't register for me. And like I said, it is leaving room for doubt, which would leave room for other hosts.
Yeah.
We don't have to get too deep into demonology, but leaving room for other hosts of your temple. Like, man, is Jesus really the Son of God? Is Jesus, man, is this church thing really working out? Is Jesus really at work in my life? Like, that leaves room for error. And I don't think we should get into any of those type of questions. Definitely question yourself.
Yeah.
Question your faithfulness. Question your loyalty. Question your, whether you're a ride or die for Jesus. But never question him. Because we're on the back end of Calvary. He already proved himself.
Word.
He already died. He already was buried. He already resurrected. He already showed up again and gave us a commission. He already did all the things. So we should not be asking questions like, man, can this be Jesus for real? Is Jesus really the Son of God?
Yeah.
Qu- question should only be, man, am I doing what I need to do in response of the Son of God?
Absolutely. Yo, to go even further with this, you made a very, you put emphasis on all the people. And so to go back to the verse above, yo, this doesn't exempt the people that brought him there. And so they brought him to Jesus, knowing that he can heal him. And he did. And still there was doubt. And still there was this, can this be? If I bring you to somebody as a brother and sister in Christ, towards the head of this body, and I see you get healed, and I see a miracle get bestowed upon your life, and my response is, can this be? This is borderline blasphemy, bro. Like, this is crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know that he, it's like, I don't understand, bro. I think that it really has to do with faith, bro. And people's faith is so wavering. Like, when God said that all you had to do is have the faith of a mustard seed, bro, I think that we don't understand and realize how much people don't have that faith, bro. How much people don't have this little tiny itty bit of faith, bro, to realize that, yo, like, yes, this is the Son of God. This is the Son. Oh my gosh, bro. Yes, this is him. This is the Messiah. This is the one. How can you be questioning that, and you're the one who brought your friend to this person?
Yeah,
that's mind-boggling to me, bro.
And yeah, like, and then I think obviously we're gonna get into the verse where it says, the house divided, but man, this is also another thing that corrupts a body, the lack of faith in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We got people who call themselves believers but have no belief. There's people that think that they're saved but really are not taking the steps of salvation, which is simply your faith. Like, a lot of people just don't have faith. And there's the body of Christ that a lot of times gets crippled because of unbelief and lack of faith. Bro, it's like a disease. It's like COVID, bro. Like, it's inside, man. And it starts from inside, bro. Division just starts from inside. There is no... Jesus said, not even the gates of hell will prevail against this body.
Absolutely.
That he's about to build, right? So the only thing that could really separate us...
is us.
Is us. The only thing that could defeat us is us. The only thing that could win and conquer over us and break us down, it's not from the outside, it's from the inside. It's us.
Yeah.
And the lack of faith is also one of those things. So the lack of love is one of those things. But also the lack of faith, I believe, is one of those key things that cause dysfunction in the body.
Absolutely. It says in 24, but when the Pharisees, right, keep in mind, yo, these people are a Jewish group, right, who follow strict interpretations of Jewish law. Like, yo, these are the people that have been trusted with the manuscripts of God, bro. Like, these are the people that if they saw God, they were supposed to know that this is the one. They're the ones that's supposed to know that, yo, this is the Messiah, right? But instead, they say this blasphemous thing. They say something that is completely out of line, out of pocket. And these are the people that study. These are the people that are in their word probably the most. They know the law.
These are the pastors.
The pastors, bro. Yo, bro, they know the law.
Yeah. And your favorite prophets.
Word, bro.
These are the type of people we're looking at. These are the mega church pastors.
This is Ephesus, bro.
This is the people that got a whole bunch of people listening to them just because of clout and fame. And people, they said, go ahead, read it, bro.
It says,
I don't want to read it.
They said, it is only, bro,
Beelzebul, though?
Bro.
Bro.
That's crazy.
It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons.
The prince? The prince of demons. The prince. Yo, I just want to... Yo, I want to make a little suggestion here, bro. Because even this is, even though that this is blasphemous, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, this is blasphemous. Sure.
We all know Jesus ain't no prince, bro. This is a king. This is a king, bro. This is a king. Son of God. So, I mean, yeah, technically, but nah, bro. He ain't that, bro. This is God. If anything, bro, his sons and daughters, us, we would probably get that title. And so I don't think people know the power that we have inside of us, bro. Because if you were to flip this statement, right, and put one of us inside of here, bro, put somebody that is in the healing ministry, right, put somebody that is in the evangelizing ministry. Put somebody that is in the pastoral ministry and said, man, bro, oh, you healed somebody? Yo, this must be one of God's disciples. This must be one of God's sons and daughters. I think, and it's a weird way to look at this, but it made me realize, yo, how much power is inside of me, bro. And this is blasphemous. And even in the bad things, bro, God will still get his glory, bro. And so even though, yo, they sit here, bro, and they spit on his name, bro, they say that he's the prince of demons. And these are the people that are studying his, bro. These are the people that should know better, bro.
Yeah.
They should know. And so, yo, how many people, to draw this to modern day, are in the churches, hands raised up high, singing the most loudest hallelujah, bro, speaking in all types of tongues, bro, and couldn't feel the presence of God if it smacked you in the face? Wouldn't be able to tell if this is God or not if it was right in front of you? You just utter out vain words, utter out vain repentance. You speak like you know God. You act like you know God, but your heart is so far away from him. Your posture is nowhere near him. And so, like, yo, like, we gotta wake up. Like, when I read this, bro, it made me realize, yo, what are we doing? Because you made a very good point, and I was going to touch on this, that the only thing that could defeat the body of Christ is the body of Christ. There is no infirmity, which is different than other people that have, that are in unity. We have a special kind of unity, a divine kind of unity, something that can't get broken by anything else except for us. And if we were meant to be with each other, right? If we were meant to be in unification with each other, nothing should be breaking us, because nothing else outside of the body of Christ has the power to break us. And so us as Christians got to realize, yo, we got to stop shooting friendly fire. We got to stop killing our brothers and sisters. We got to start unifying ourselves with one another and unifying ourselves, most importantly, to the source, the head, the brain that causes all of our body parts to work. Because without that, yo, we nothing but a vegetable.
Facts. And yeah, there's like one thing I realized. One thing I realized with people that have not really seen God for real, for who he is, and has not seen and experienced like him for real, a lot of times equate worship with, oh, you're doing too much. Like, for example, I'll go to church and say, for example, because this is not nobody's church that's ever going to watch this or on this, like, it's the church down the road. But, for example, say I go to church and somebody is sitting next to me and they just got a grumpy face while I'm praising the Lord. And it's like I feel off of them like, man, you're doing too much, man. Like, relax, like, chill. Like, we're in church, like, act holy and sanctified. And I believe it's those people right there that just have not experienced God for real for who he is.
Yeah.
Because once you experience God for real, man, you don't care about nothing else. You just care about praising the most holy of holies, man. Just praising a holy God, praising a wonderful, gracious God, praising a loving and caring Savior. And there's a whole bunch of people that has not recognized. And listen, people go to church every single Sunday. The Spirit of God is there, and they are just blind. Why? Because they are demon oppressed. And so the oppression from the demon has caused them to be spiritually blind, yeah. Spiritually mute. That means they don't want to speak out against nothing. And spiritually blind, they have no awareness of God's presence. And so since people are spiritually blind and spiritually mute, they are sitting in pews every single Sunday not experiencing the real Savior. And because they're not experiencing the real Savior, man, you get around people who's really on fire for Christ and you think that they're doing too much. No, I have just experienced. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is really good. I don't just come to church and expect miracles. I come to church for him.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing from him because he'll do that throughout the week. But Sunday morning, yeah, that's my time. That's my time to give to him. That's my time. He said, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, either verse 12 or verse 13. It says, my house, this is God speaking to Solomon, my house will be a house of sacrifice. Yeah, you go give offering and tithes and all that stuff. But man, there's some things in my heart that I had to sacrifice. And I've seen the Lord work because of my sacrifice. I've seen the Lord do and move things on my behalf because of sacrifice. And so the continuous desire to give to him. And then you got people that is like little like devils. Like it's just like people that really do not desire the Lord because they have not seen him. That could also be some kind of like disruption in what the body got going on.
Yo, I think that people don't understand. Two things. People don't understand when it's time to give offering, bro. That you've been giving offering since you started worship, bro. That offering not just about giving the most amount of money inside the church, bro.
Yeah.
It's deeper than that. Your offering should be, watch this word, your life. Mm-hmm. Your offering should not just be on a Sunday. It should be on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 24 hours of the day.
Yeah.
That every day that you are a walking, living, talking, breathing, sacrifice towards the Lord. People get so caught up in like, oh yeah, I'm going to drop a band in the offering basket. And so they look at people that's giving their highest praise to the Lord, bro. People that's worshiping like, nah, you doing too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nah, you doing too less.
Right.
You not doing enough.
Right.
If you think that your stupid little $20, your stupid little $100 is worth anything towards the kingdom of God, for you to be acting like that, yo, you've been mistaken. You've been deeply mistaken. If you think your $200 is enough for you to sit there and act like that, you're bugging. And yo, bro, I get so passionate. Yo, bro, this is the one thing. In fact, yo, I get so passionate about it, I named the podcast after it. Yo, so we could tear that veil, bro. We need to tear that veil, bro. Tear this veil, bro. Yo, people need to wipe their eyes, bro. Stop being blind, bro. Take off the covering, bro. Stop being demonically oppressed. You have authority over these things, bro. You have authority to trample over this, yo, bro. Stop sitting in your oppression. It's by choice. It's not because you can't get out of it. It's not that we don't want to. It's not that we can't not be unified. It's the fact that, yo, sadly, some Christians just don't want to be unified. And that sucks, bro. That breaks my heart. Yo, I wish that we could come to a place, bro, where we're not so oppressed by demonic entities, bro. Because they shouldn't be able to break us. Although they come against us, they should not be able to get in here, bro. They should not be able to get in my spirit. They should not be able to get in my heart. Yet, there's some people in this body of Christ that sadly, yo, this has sprouted up in them, bro. And to make it even worse, we got these people sometimes, not just in the congregation, they're leaders. People that's laying hands on people, bro. Different bodies, parts in the body of Christ. And yo, bro, as a hand, if you're a hand in the body of Christ, and you get to the heart, bro, and you're filled with demonic things, you're filled with demonic principalities, you're filled with nothing but oppression, nothing but weak faith, and you touch something vital like a heart, bro. Something vital? Yo, a perfect example of this would be Isaiah 1, bro. That, yo, these are the Lord's people. This is a vital part of the body. And we're all important. We're all important. But yo, bro, if these are God's people, and the way how they acted, yo, the subtitle of that chapter is Wickedness in Judah, bro. How can wickedness in Judah, which means praise, right? How can wickedness sprout itself into something that's meant for praise, bro? Praise for the Most High, bro. We gotta break out of it, gang. Like, we have to break out of it, bro. I pray. And even as I was creating this, bro, and as the Spirit was speaking through me while I was taking my notes and whatnot, bro, like, yo, like, I think that this is so, I don't even want this to be an episode, bro, where it's just like, yo, I speak about it and I'm done with it, bro. Like, this is something that needs light, bro. Like, we really need to spread awareness to this. I think this is super important. If we want to stand up in authority, we got to get this under control. We got to figure this out, bro. It then says in verse 25, knowing their thoughts. Hold up. I wonder how the Lord feels about this, bro. I wonder how much this breaks his heart. Knowing their thoughts. Like, he knows. And I know that it hurts him. I know that it breaks his heart till this day to see that the church is not on one accord. It's not in one spirit. It's not in one body. I know it breaks his heart. And I know that it's doing us a disservice. As the body of Christ, it's doing us a disservice to be serving one body and then dipping our spirit and all these other things and coming back into this body with all of these foreign diseases. All types of COVID-19, all types of black plague, all types of common cold, and starting to touch up on other parts of the body, starting to corrupt other parts of the body. And so, yo, he knows, bro, and I know it breaks his heart. I know it breaks his heart. He said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. Yo, every kingdom, right? A territory ruled by a king. This is a kingdom. So this is territory, right? For us, yo, this is the vessel, right? And so, yo, every vessel that is ruled by a king, how many of y'all know that our bodies are not our own, but they're his, right? It was given to us. And so, yo, our bodies were meant to be Judah. We were meant to give off a praise to the Lord. And it says, yo, your body divided, split into parts. And so, yo, you as a vessel, right? Imagine Elliot right now, bro. Or imagine who, me. Or imagine, yo, your body is, watch this word, whole. And if you split this body into all different types of parts, if you were to hypothetically, please don't do this, chop up your body into little tiny pieces, you would not be a living organism, one, but how would you be able to stand? How would you be able to operate? And so, yo, if we're the vessel, right, and we divide this vessel into split parts, we won't be able to move the way how we're supposed to move. We're doing ourselves a disservice. And we know that it says against itself, yo, this is coming from the inside, right? And so, we know that no physical knife can do this. No demonic entity trying to come from the outside. Inside could do this. But once the demonic entity gets in your heart as a believer, and you're in the body of Christ, right? Now you start to divide other parts of the body. Now you start to bring your foolishness upon the church and causing division.
It's like, say the arm is like, yo, I don't want to send blood flow to the hand. The hand is now void, dead, can't be used. Or the hand is like, no, I'm not going to send blood flow to the fingers. Now the fingers just can't be used, right? And it's the same thing. We stop other people in the body from reaching their max potential in terms of what the Lord needs them to do.
Yeah.
That division only comes from inside. It is critical for all of us to be on the same page as the body of Christ, man. Forget the world. The world could do whatever it wants to do. The world will get destroyed with fire, right? But man, if the believers are not even on the same page, who will the world look to? If the world is seeking unity, and we know what unity is, then who will they look to if we are not unified? They have no, it'll leave everything else void, everything else vain.
Yeah.
And it does not allow the church to really do what the church is commanded to do, which is to go and make more disciples. So if people are looking for unity and they can't find it in the church, man, where else will they go?
Facts. It said it's laid waste. Laid waste. You just touched on it. Yo, this thing is void, bro. It's ruined. It's just a scrap, bro. It doesn't make sense. Yo, it's waste. And then later on says, in no city or house divided against itself will stand. What causes division in the body of Christ? I think I can simplify this in one word: sin. Sin. And so, yo, bro, once we start indulging in sin, once our sinful nature starts to arise over our spirit, man, and we start dividing, right, ourself, We start making all types of incisions, cuts, all of that with us, God, the church, brothers, sisters, family members. Yo, your division doesn't just affect you. That it affects everybody that you're in one body with, one mind with, under one God. And so, yo, hypothetically speaking, if somebody that I was very close to got out of the body of Christ, who then do I turn to? If this is my brother and I depend on him, we depend on each other, we lift up each other before the kingdom, and you leave, woe is to that man, right? The Bible says this, woe to the man that is alone. He has nobody to keep him accountable, nobody to lift him back up. And so, yo, you now take yourself out of the equation. We have a dysfunctional body, a body that cannot stand. Because body parts rely on body parts. And if you cut off one body part, another body part will suffer. And so if we want to stand up as Christians, and what this looks like is, yo, y'all want to fight? We want to fight demonic principalities, because we know we don't fight against flesh. And yo, we're fighting a spiritual war. And so in order for us to fight the way how God intended us to fight, we have to be unified. We have to be able to stand. We have to be able to look at somebody that's indulging in pornography and tell them, no, that's not right. Not covering up the word. We got to be able to go out and talk to the LGBTQ plus A, B, C, D, E, F, G and speak to them, right? About what they're doing is wrong. We can't do that if people don't necessarily think that it's wrong. We can't do that if everybody's opinions and everybody's theology is overpowering the word of God. So we gotta let our soul, right, which is our emotions, ideology, feelings sometimes, so on and so forth, sit down. Let your spirit man rise up. My Bible tells me, yo, my spirit bears witness, right? And so just off of hearing the word of God or just off of hearing his commands, yo, my spirit should just be bearing witness, wanting to tell people about what the Lord says, because my life is not my own. My body is not my own. Yo, it don't matter what I think when it comes to the Lord, that we should all be in the business of serving one another, serving one another. That, yo, God came to serve sinners. People that, yo, New York people would say, the oppositions, right? And so us, as a body, we have to be able and go out and serve the oppositions with the word of God. So that they, too, can become a part of this body. And we can't do that if we're divided. Because then what body do we have to stand? If you cut off a leg, how are we going to be able to stand? If you cut off another leg, how will we be able to walk? If you cut off an arm, yo, we might be paralyzed. How are we going to be able to stand, bro? How are we going to be able to move? If everybody is fighting against everybody in the church, how will we be able to display unity like you said? It makes absolutely no sense. Yo, I honestly think this is why certain people have not come to Jesus yet. Because they look at the church. They see the hypocrisy. They're like, yo, you're a Christian, bro, but you just cursed out your brother yesterday. And so, yeah, they're looking for unity. And we're supposed to be the ones bringing that. And when we fail to bring that, yo, they look for unity in the safe. Everybody in the circle, everybody unified, smoking a blunt, right? They look for unity in the wrong things. In fact, they look for unity in hell. And so they want a place where, yo, they could just be with people, be in a company with people. Yo, Chris Durso says, yo, if bad company right, produces bad character, imagine what good company could produce. And so these people are looking for unification in bad company. But imagine what they would be able to do if the unification was found in good company. If the unification was able to be found in the body of Christ.
Yeah. There's a... Can we go deep?
We can go deep, bro.
Go deep. There's a gem in the text. It says, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. Jesus said this, right?
Yeah.
Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The Sermon on the Mount. This is the closing of his biggest sermon. Everyone then, this is Jesus, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, hears and does, hearers of the word and doers of the word, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Now, we, as the people of God, need to understand that we want to be, like he made a comparison, like a house. That house will fall if it is not founded on something secure.
Yeah.
So if there is not a mutual and base foundation, and there is not a common denominator in the way we interact with each other, man. If I walk up to you and the thing that we can most identify with each other with is weed, bro, it is not stable. If I roll up on you, can we go deep? If I roll up on you and I try to identify with you based off just you, that even in and of itself is unstable, because you have changed since yesterday and you changed since last year, last week, last month. But as the body of believers, we have to understand that Jesus has to be the foundation of our unity. We cannot stand if it is not him. But I say this all the time, man. We want the things, but we want to stay disconnected from the source. We don't want to pay the price to have what it takes to really have joy or really have peace. You want to know what it takes to have peace? Prayer.
Yeah.
But we don't want to have discipline and we don't want to pray. We want wisdom, but we don't want to read. We want these things, but we don't want to do the things that God has said for us to do so that we can stay connected to what he has called us to receive.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, this is his sermon. He said, if you hear and you do the things, that is how you stay connected to the foundation. Watch, that is how we can stand. If we do not do the things that Christ has told us to do, such as love one another, such as bear one another's burdens, such as pray for one another and have faith for one another, do all the one another's, when somebody sins against you, love and forgive and have mercy and have grace.
Yeah.
Help. Do all the things that Jesus has already commanded us to do in the sense of community. One, I'm gonna tell you right now. One chapter in the Bible, my favorite chapter, Matthew chapter 18. That whole chapter is Jesus giving teaching about community. And that whole chapter gets to the point of, it goes through a couple things. Humility, which is necessary in stable community. It goes through not causing one another to sin, so advising each other in holiness. It talks about lost sheep, the parable of the lost sheep, where if somebody goes lost, man, is it not, like, was that not one of you? Was that not one of your partners? Is that sheep not as valuable? Right? If somebody sins against you, what to do and how to go about that, confront them one-on-one. If they don't accept the confrontation, then you go with two or three witnesses. If they don't receive what you're trying to tell them, then you just go back to the church. And it's the whole process of if somebody sins against you. And then lastly, it is the parable of the unforgiving servant. This is, that whole chapter is just giving us, it's just Jesus talking. Like, I know we like to differentiate between Paul and or Peter and John or whatnot. No, Jesus said this. Matthew recorded Jesus saying this, and Jesus gives us advice on how to deal with community. And so the whole basis of that is just staying connected to Christ. Who was humble? Christ. Who lived holy? Christ. Who is the shepherd that ran after the sheep? Christ. Who is the one that confronted people about sinning against him? Christ. Who is the one that forgives? Christ. Everything that he taught us, he lived out perfectly. So how can we expect to have like this unity without staying connected to him?
Yeah.
Or staying grounded in him?
I don't think it's possible. It's not possible. 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? I think we kind of just talked. We touched on it. Yo, if we cast out ourselves,
yeah,
right? To the kingdom, that's a disservice. And if our jobs as Christians is to help build up the kingdom of God, why would you cast out yourself? Are you not doing your brothers that you claim to love a disservice? Are you not doing your sisters that you claim to love a disservice? I see this a lot of times when people fall, right? And so people feel like, yo, they just automatically need to get up out the church. They automatically don't belong there. What you think you got brothers and sisters for? Yo, if you're struggling with sin, don't leave. Don't walk out. Don't go indigo. Yo, ask a brother, ask a sister to pray for you. Ask a brother, ask a sister to call you and be like, yo, I'm struggling with this. I need you to hold me accountable. I need you to help me with this standard third. Yo, I need you to watch this. Help me grow back with the Lord. Help me, assist me into getting back to that secret place, that place that I once loved the Lord again. You're not going to be able to do that if you just isolate yourself. You're not going to be able to do that if you go into a dark corner. In fact, yo, that's the place where the devil will attack you the most. When you're by yourself. Because he knows in unity, we are strong. And so he'll go after the strays, right? He'll go after the people that are lost, the people that don't have anybody, the people that are just disconnected from the source.
There's so many times, and I'm going to just give two examples. Two of these is the most famous. Adam and Eve. The Bible says Eve was having a conversation solo, one-on-one conversation with Satan. Adam was not there defending Eve. Adam was not there speaking for Eve. Adam was probably doing what the Lord told him to do. Keep watch over the garden, take care of the garden. Now, Eve, in this one-on-one confrontation or one-on-one conversation with Satan, gets into her heart while she is solo, while she's by herself. Another example of this is, and I don't even know why he's crafty, but he's a little slow sometimes. He tried Jesus in the wilderness. Now, Jesus was not with anybody. Jesus was by himself in the wilderness, fasting, praying, with the Spirit, in the wilderness, by himself. And that was the one opportunity that Satan really took to present himself before Christ and tempt him with food, with protection. He said, jump off and you'll be protected. And with power. And these three things that Jesus was tempted with, he still showed resilience. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I know we want to be like Christ, but I am not that strong enough to do it by myself.
Absolutely.
I'm not. I don't care what you say. I don't care how long you've been saved, man. You could be top tier prophet. I don't care who you are. You are not Jesus, and you cannot defeat temptation by yourself. You have to depend on Christ, and you have to depend on Christ's people. That is the only way. You can't do it by yourself. Nowhere in the New Testament after Christ comes promotes solo ministries, promotes solo lifestyle. The only time somebody was solo was on the island of Patmos in the New Testament, and he had to be solo for a revelation so that he could spread to seven churches. Man, nowhere else in the New Testament promotes you being solo, by yourself, living for Christ. It just doesn't work like that. Unity is necessary and mandatory for this lifestyle of salvation in Jesus.
Absolutely. I wanted to, I mean, we brushed upon the topic of denominations. We brushed upon the topic of denominations, and like you said, I'm not against it. What I am against is people in different denominations attacking people in other denominations. It goes back to me saying this, stop self-harming. Yo, for those people that are Jehovah Witnesses, yo, great. For those people who are Pentecostal, yo, great. Don't fight one another. Y'all believe in the same God, right? Y'all believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So why are you trying to fight somebody and bash somebody that believes the exact same thing? I think that it's just this, like, yo, bro, it's this fiend for power. This fiend for, no, we're on top.
We're correct.
Yeah. It's pride, bro.
Yeah.
Pride, bro. Mm-hmm. I wish that people could just get into the business of serving. Jehovah Witnesses should be serving Pentecostal churches. Non-denominational churches should be serving all the other denominational churches. Nazarene churches should be serving the Baptist church. I think that once we start self-harming, once we start dividing ourselves into we believe Jesus, but blah, 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 blah. Yeah. No, we believe Jesus, but blah, 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 blah. Oh, no, we don't believe what they believe. Because of something like a date? Because of the difference between Saturday and Sunday. Yo, how big is your God that you would create division? Like, you know how stupid that is? For you to create division with somebody that believes that they should worship on a Saturday or on a Sunday, like we don't worship God 24 hours of the, like we shouldn't be worshiping God 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week. You think that you just like, you, like this one day, bro? You like, when I really break it down, bro, it's so stupid on why people should be attacking other believers because they don't believe stupidity. Like, yo, bro, so what, bro? You worship on a Saturday, I worship on a Sunday, let's worship on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like, what's the issue? I think that it becomes a problem in the church when we start dividing ourselves, with specifically towards denominations. Yo, stop spreading the hate. Stop hating one another because of y'all differences. Y'all serve the same God. Y'all are under the same master. It should be one faith, one baptism, one spirit, one Lord. Point blank, period. And so, yo, to wrap this up, because we're just about done here. What's the steps? Now that we acknowledge that, yo, this is a problem. We've acknowledged that, yo, this right here needs to be stopped. What are the steps? Yo, Jesus says in his word, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul, bro?
Real quick. That is the first step, bro. Denying yourself. I'm going to just talk about denying yourself because we think denying of yourself is could be like the term killing your flesh, but we don't even understand what killing your flesh really means. So denying yourself is saying no to me.
Yeah.
Because we love to say I'm denying my flesh, but you keep giving into what you want instead of what God wants for you.
Factual.
So denying yourself is saying, man, no to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know it all. I don't have it all together. I can't even trust myself. Like, me, myself, is not even a stable foundation for me to just keep living my life. I need to trust in Him and follow Him, look to Him, and focus on Him.
Yeah.
And so denying yourself or denying your flesh is like, man, whatever I think, whatever I want, whatever I desire, means nothing if it does not line up with what He wants and what He thinks and what He desires.
Absolutely. Yo, I think you said it perfectly, bro. That, yo, we just need to put our opinions, bro. Yeah. We need to put our pride, bro. We need to put all the arrogance, bro, aside and focus on what He wants. There's no way that we can be divided if we're all on one accord, right? One faith, one Lord, one baptism. I'm going to keep saying this. If we are following one Lord, then, yo, let's do this thing. Follow Him. Let's stop trying to follow ourselves and what we believe and interpret it and blah, blah, blah. No, bro. Just listen to the Lord. Put the foolishness aside, bro. You got beef with your brother or your sister? Yo, look towards what Jesus says. Hash out your problems right there. Yo, you're struggling with sin? Look towards what Jesus says. Hash out your problems right there. Yo, you serve this body. I serve this body. We should be serving together. For we work together, right? And so if you're in a different denomination, and I'm in a different denomination, we should be serving each other. What's the issue? I think that we should just put ourselves down, bro. Mm-hmm. Deny yourself. Mm-hmm. Pick up this. Pick up the words it says in here. Remember it. Have it ingrained in your mind. Have it tattooed on your heart. Follow this. Division will not be a problem, I promise you. And when we do this, yo, revival will be put in the atmosphere. Strength in the body of Christ will be installed. A strength like we've never seen before. Yo, I think that this is, bro, this is prophetic, bro. If we were able to do this, I don't think people understand that we already have the victory. If we would just work together, everybody, the world, the principalities, your friends that don't believe in God, the people in China or Australia, Europe, Antarctica, bro, all over the world that don't know this name, Jesus Christ, I bet you, they will bow down to that name. They will get to know that name. If us as a body of Christ, as the body of Christ, would be unified.
Yeah. Yeah. And lastly, I want to read from Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 28. It says, Him we proclaim. Him we proclaim. I don't want to have Bible study, but bro, it's an issue when other things are like culture and tradition or church history is now superior over Christ. The main focus should always be Christ. It shouldn't be my feelings, my emotions, how my grandmama grew up. It should always be Christ. How can you know Christ? We don't even have enough biblical literacy for us to even like expect revival. How do you want revival and you don't even know what Jesus said about the steps to take to reach revival?
Yeah.
That could be personal, that could be worldwide, that could be in your state, your country. You don't even know what revival even looks like according to the Bible. And you're expecting something that you don't know. And so, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone, because we hate teaching, we love miracles more than teaching. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. You want to know where to find wisdom?
In Jesus, bro. In the
Word.
This, bro.
The Word of God. Paul says he's doing this, why? So that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Everyone. The reason why anybody should be doing anything, the whole reconciliation, yo, all of that stuff, you should be proclaiming Christ, warning people, teaching people, and maturing people in Him. Maturing. We present everyone mature in Christ.
Yeah.
Not to Christ, not through Christ, in Christ. That is the body. We're doing all these things to build up the body so that the body will be mature in Him. And so we have to understand, there's a few things, man. Pride, lack of love, lack of belief, lack of faith, but also lack of knowledge, lack of wisdom, lack of urgency. And it's all of those things is not from the outside. All of those things start from in. And so if we are lacking those things, which we should be the definition of, we should be the definition of love. If somebody wants to know love, man, they should be looking at the believers. If somebody wants to know joy, they should be looking at believers. If they want to know what unity looks like, they should look at the global church. I'm not talking about American church. I'm talking about global church. The church around the world, how everybody responds to everybody in terms of our base foundation of Christ. But we have to understand who we're set on. That solid rock. We love to sing that song, Firm Foundation, by Cody and Chandler Moore. Man, we really have, like, the firm foundation has to be Christ. If it is not Christ, it is not firm.
Yeah.
You yourself is not firm. People, church history, the church itself is not firm. Christ is firm. That is how the church can stand. The church can't stand on the church.
Absolutely.
The church has to stand on Christ.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians, verse 1. I mean, chapter 1, verse 10. And these are the Lord's words. I'm going to put myself aside here because I have so much to speak about on this topic. But if I say, yo, we're going to be here all night. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather, be one mind, united in thought and purpose. Yo, first of all, I thank you for listening. But I pray that what you got from this is we should be living in harmony. It should be no division between me and you. It should be no division between a brother and a brother, or a brother and a sister, or a sister and a sister. That we should be all serving one Lord. That we should be standing on His firm foundation. That we should be serving each other. One mind. One baptism. Put yourself aside. Put the pride aside. Put the opinions aside. Put the denomination aside. Can we love each other like Christ loves the church? Can we Ephesians 5:25 each other? Yo, I'm going to pray out. because I think the Lord spoke tonight, and everything that had to come out came out. And so, yo, I'm gonna just seal it. I'm gonna just seal it, and I know that the Lord is gonna come through. And so, Spirit of the Living God, Lord, I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for using me as a vessel tonight. I thank you for using Elliot as a vessel tonight. Lord, I come to you as your son. We come to you as sons and daughters and ask, Lord, for unification. Lord, I am tired of brothers of Christ fighting against brothers of Christ. Lord, I am tired of sisters fighting against brothers and sisters against sisters. Lord, help us to serve one another. Help us to put ourselves aside. Help us to put our denominations aside. Help us to put all of the things that are not you aside and just follow you, Jesus. Just follow what you want us to do. Follow your word. Pick up your Bible. Live the words that's in the Bible. Let our actions, Lord, be living testimonies to what was written in this book. Lord, I pray that we will just be able to unite, that there will be no division, that we will be serving one Lord under one baptism, on one accord, one mind, one Spirit of the Living God, following the one Jehovah Jireh, following the one Elohim, following the one Elroy, following the one Shaddai, following the one Yahweh. Lord, help us to reconcile with each other like you reconciled with man and God. Lord, we need you. Lord, be the firm foundation of this church. And Lord, we need each other. Lord, I pray for every single person that feels like they need to stray away from the body. Lord, I pray that you will reel them in back now, Lord. I pray against every single bit of division. I pray against every single spirit of drifting away. Lord, call us together. Bring us together. Lord, we cannot do this without you, and we can't do this without each other. Lord, before we were in our mother's wombs, you knew us. And you knew that we would need each other for a time such as this. So I pray that you will just come through for a time such as this. I pray that we will come through for each other for a time such as this. The weapon formed against us shall prosper, Lord. The weapon formed against us shall prosper. I pray that we don't... Lord, no weapon against us can prosper. Lord, I pray that we don't become the weapon that prospers against each other. Lord, no more self-harm to the body. Lord, no more persecution of one another. Lord, cover us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Lord, we need you right now. We cannot do this by ourselves. Lord, I need my friends. I need my family. I need my brothers. I need my sisters to come in one accord with you, Lord. To come in one accord with the living God. Lord, I pray that you hear my cry tonight. You said, blessed are those who mourn, Lord. And as I mourn now for your people to come on one accord, Lord, I pray that you would just do something. Do something in the atmosphere for them. Change their minds. Fix their hearts. Revive their spirits. Pour oil on their life. Lord, I pray for David's arising. I pray for Daniel's arising. I pray for Esther's arising. I pray for Miriam's arising. I pray for Mary's arising. As I know that you've already done it in advance. Lord, that we will be strong. That we are victorious. Lord, I call it done in your name, Jesus. I call it done in your name, Jesus. I rejoice that you're already working on it. And that people who have strayed away are now coming back to your kingdom. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I give you all the honor, all the glory, and the highest praise. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. Yo, I pray that y'all hear my heart tonight. I thank you for listening. Please tell your friends, tell your families, those who might have strayed away from the gospel to come back, that we need them. That the Lord designed them. That the Lord made them. That the Lord's hand is upon their life. The word says that, yo, that we are the clay and he's been molding us. Let them know that they've been touched by the living God. Let them know that they're important. Let them know that they are needed. Bring them back home. If you're watching this and you might have strayed away, come back home. We need you. You are valuable. We need you in the kingdom. You were supposed to be in the kingdom. And I know that you will be back in the kingdom. I pray that you will be back in the kingdom. Yo, that's a wrap. Thank you for watching. Thank you for watching. Yo, may the Lord be with you. I pray that his face will shine upon you. I pray that he will be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.